It's episode 261 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Drake Kulik was the recruiting coordinator for Iowa this weekend on site in Arizona at Kyler Casper's game. Purdue loses to Wisconsin, which leaves Iowa back in the driver's seat in the west of the Big Ten. And Penn State drops an ugly one to Illinois. There's plenty to talk about today. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 261 of the podcast. The Hawks were off this weekend, but that actually gives me a perfect opportunity to bring up the fact that PP Toucher U got taken to 9 overtimes and then beaten by Illinois. And it's actually pretty ironic they went to 9 overtimes because that's actually the age of consent that they were trying to get changed there in Happy Valley from 18 to 9, cut it in half so that their coaches could continue to bang little children. So on that note, I'm going to turn it over to our host, Tyler Kluver, and hopefully we continue to make fun of Penn State, but if not, we'll move on.
God damn it. I mean,
I dug you a pretty nice hole there, didn't I?
I mean, I'm 6 feet deep right now.
Just like Joe Pond Sandusky.
Wow.
Is Sandusky dead?
I don't think he's dead.
I don't know, but his butthole is.
Inside, he probably is. Inside, he may as well be. I'm sorry to those listening. They like to come in. They just want some wholesome bi-week content. You know, we're just bored. There's no hot content. And Drake has to open it up with that. And man, I was actually a little pissed as we hit record because the Texans and Cardinals could not collectively keep my parlay alive.
Oh, you had an over?
I had an over. And that hurt. But that intro,
it took the pain away, didn't it? Call me morphine.
Yeah,
you might as well call me Drake Fentanyl Kulik.
Yep. They cut cocaine with you.
I'll make you feel good, but then I kill you.
That's sure. Wow. Lot there. We can continue to make fun of Penn State. It's on my list. The easy jokes are the Sandusky jokes. The more relevant ones are probably losing to Illinois at home. Not good.
And I mean, not only just losing to him, but just choking it off because it took him 9 overtimes. Like Sean Clifford dropped that ball. He could have caught it. The receiver threw a terrible pass, but still could have caught it.
Now I have some, I feel like I could maybe give old Clifford some advice on coming back to the ball.
Because you know what it takes to run a trick play and come back to the ball and make a catch on your shoelaces.
Yeah, like, on an underthrown ball. Yeah,
you focus, you look it in, and you don't choke in the big moment. But sorry, Sean Clifford, the big red pup.
I tweeted exactly that too. I said something about Clifford the big red dog. Like, there's three main topics I want to get to in this game. Let's just start here. One, the fact that Illinois actually pulled off the upset, beat them, what that means for the Big Ten, the rankings, all of that, right? Oh, also, by the way,
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be here, boys.
Yeah, there he is. Kev's in the car.
I honestly love that little clip. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So that shakes up things. It doesn't, because the East teams were going to eat each other. I've been talking about it. They've had each other on their plate they had to get to them eventually. It's like that pumpkin pie that's coming up at Thanksgiving. It's like, you might be full, but you're gonna take a couple bites of the pumpkin pie anyway. And that's what Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State we're gonna have to do as we come down the stretch here. Penn State probably at this point, unless some wild shit happened, is now not a contender in the East, which is crazy to say. Just take it back 2 weeks and some change as we go into the Iowa Penn State game, and they're the two that are leading, you know, kind of the races in both sides. So things, the tides can shift quickly. But not only does that shift up things in the Big Ten, but very interesting to see them play Clifford, even though he was clearly hurt. I don't know how much you guys got to watch of the entire game. And two, the overtime rule is trash. Two plays is not an overtime to me. It doesn't feel right. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I don't like that rule.
And the idea that it can speed up a game is reasonable, but at the same time, they just showed you how it can not speed up a game.
Yeah.
Like the amount of TV timeouts that went on and, you know, it aired forever.
It was tough. And I was trying to work out and it just kept going on and on and on. Neither team could score from 3 yards out. Like you said, on that first overtime where you had to go to the 2-point conversion format, they run a reverse to Clifford and DN stayed home a little bit and actually forced an early throw, which made, you know, made it short. Clifford couldn't pull through, but watching him play hurt, there were several times at the end of the game where if he could run or he felt confident being hit, or you know, potentially being in a physical situation, he could have done a lot more for them, and he just didn't. He just went down and conceded, and it was. I almost feel like it was reckless of them to play him, and I don't know. I know that we saw their backup and how horrible he was, but my goodness, Kev, did you get to watch any of that game?
Yeah, I got to watch the vast majority of the game. I didn't get to see all of it, but I think the funniest thing was that Illinois had, like, what, 390 yards of offense, like 30 passing yards.
Yeah.
They had almost as many passing attempts as yards, but they just kept running the ball. And
effectively.
Penn State had a hard time stopping it at times.
Does that worry you guys? Illinois' rushing attack looked effective and good. And we still have them on the schedule.
Listen, man, if Illinois can run the ball down our throat, then you know what? Fuck it for $5. Because that's just – if we lose to Illinois because they run the ball down our throat, count me out.
Yeah.
Count me out. I quit.
You'd like to think that our offense could do more, but I mean, I don't know. You look at the Penn State game, it's just like, I don't know. It just goes to show, like, every week Purdue beats Iowa, Illinois beats Penn State. You know, you can't just walk into a week, anybody. You can't just walk in and say, you know, this one's a dub. So I think
I'll tell you what, as a former player who never lost to Illinois, I'm correct.
That's true.
You just don't let that happen, man.
Only team we never lost to, by the way.
I'm not worried about a one-dimensional team that can't throw the ball.
That's true.
Especially in our run defense has been so solid all year. Our linebackers are playing great. Defensive line's playing really good. Two gap, you know, like,
yeah,
they're eating up a lot of space. They're making it really hard to run the ball. I don't know what our rushing average given up is, but I would assume it's got to be pretty low.
Yeah, I could look that up. But, yeah, it was interesting. You start to think about, okay, well, they're horrible at throwing the ball, but they've got – I mean, they're – did you guys hear –
Their quarterback went down, too.
Yeah, they're playing with a backup QB. And so I think they have a kid named Peters and then Sitkowski.
Sitkowski broke his arm.
So he's the one that went down.
Yes.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Did you guys hear Bielema, like, last week kind of call out his team?
I didn't hear. I heard it secondhand, and I thought I was absolutely astounded. I'm just going to say this. Like, I don't know how you can ask kids to come play for you while at the same time saying that kind of stuff about the guys in your locker room.
Yeah. So here's his quote. I just know this. As a head coach, you're only as good as your roster, Bielema said. I kind of learned that the first time I went to the Kentucky Derby, right? Nobody was betting on the jockeys. Everybody was betting on the horses. So to win the Derby, you got to have the right horse. And I think our players are going to be a reflection of what our program stands for. In particular, the offensive line. I don't believe we have a player in the two deep that previous coaching staffs have recruited here over the last 3 years that is really significantly doing anything for us in the playing department. And that's a major concern. That's something that we have to do. So
he just absolutely shit on his players.
Yeah. And then he came out and I believe said something about it was completely taken out of context because it does sound bad. Here we go. I think the thing that unfolded Monday was overly shocking to me. They're my words. I said them, but they were completely taken out of context through people on this call or people that aren't here. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. I think anybody that knows me, and unfortunately for us, our players really know me, or he said, and fortunately for us, our players really know me, that was taken out of context. Someone had asked me a question about what we did during the bye week, and I was talking about to them about recruiting. Another question was asked about recruiting in the future. It was not a question about our current roster. Okay. So I don't know. It was weird.
I think, like Drake said, he took a big old steamy shit on his players and he just tried to, like a dog. If you ever see a dog try to like kick up grass or dirt on it, the shit they just took, that's what he just did.
He does kind of look like a dog
too. Brett Bielema is a big, fat, sloppy, disgusting dog.
Yeah.
That just had diarrhea on his player's lawn.
Regardless, the offensive line that he does have, whether he was talking about him or not, they came out and ran it down Penn State's throat, which is something that Iowa was not able to do.
You see how they did it? They were just they're playing like football from pre-forward pass. They had seven offensive linemen in the game.
Yep.
And like no receivers. Like they just ran like a straight line. They had a quarterback and a running back, and that was it.
It was pretty wild to watch, and it worked. It was a crazy game. I don't know. So I think it was Franklin playing Clifford. I'm sure Clifford wants to be out there, but that seemed irresponsible. The overtime rule seemed to be shown in a negative light of what it could potentially be when it doesn't work, and now Penn State's not going to probably compete on the East side. So in a way, when we're talking about Iowa, who now is back in the driver's seat as Purdue drops to Wisconsin over the weekend, which we were pretty sure Purdue wasn't going to win out the rest of the season with who they had. And they end up doing, you know, just they end up taking care of that concern for us in the first week possible with a dominated loss to Wisconsin, who we are now about to match up with. Iowa now just has to win out and we're in the Big Ten championship. So, well, I guess that's not, no, that is true because Minnesota has the loss to Ohio State and we would beat Minnesota. So, you know, Iowa would not have to rematch Penn State. It is always hard to play a team twice. And that was a brutal game the first time. It's going to be a brutal game. I think whoever comes out of the East is going to end up being a little bit beaten up from the end of this year's schedule. I think Penn State very easily knocks off two of the three teams that are still in the
East. Who do we have to hope it is?
Have to hope it is?
Yeah, like who, I guess not have to, but who do we hope comes out of the East?
I think Iowa matches up best against Michigan.
I was going to say Michigan, but
mean Michigan State? And let's shove that sumbitch down their throat for what they did to us in 2015.
The rematch is an interesting.
Give me the rematch for all the money.
When you add that element to it, it gets really interesting.
We will fight in the stadium, and they will fight on the field. If it's us in Michigan State, I'm trying to start a riot within the confines of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Kev, what do you think about that? I think that the rematch of six of our game makes it maybe the most interesting storyline. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool.
I didn't think about
it
until Drake said it.
A little different dynamic with a different coaching staff over there, mm-hmm. but
doesn't matter. You know, do they still wear green and white?
Bad blood, sure.
I think realistically, if you're really going to look at it, Ohio State's probably got on paper the best athletes, right? Like we're not going to match up against Ohio State. Even though
their receiving core was talked about being the best that Ohio State's had in a decade or two decades or something like that. Like,
yeah, those
they were saying that Olave Wilson and their third guy are just the best trio that they could have fielded in however long.
Yeah. And
yeah, I mean, Ohio State's playing like Ohio State again. They got off to a slow start. Stroud is kind of starting to find his stride. Their offense mm-hmm. has really picked up the last 3-4 weeks, and their defense is playing a lot better. They had a lot of young guys playing on defense too. They are back to being the overwhelming favorites in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they crushed Indiana. We texted right before that game went in the Notre Dame USC game, and we were like, hey, let's all decide on a group bet. And I wanted to say that Ohio State was going to cover that easy, but I had this weird, like, is Indiana one game this year just going to show like what people thought they could be? The answer was no. This past weekend, Ohio State ran through them like a middle school team. So,
yeah. So, you guys know my buddy Josh, right?
Went to
Indiana, was long snapper there.
Mm-hmm. Needs beat up.
He put 500 on Ohio State to cover.
Oh my God. Well, he hit.
Yeah, he hit. But apparently, Indiana had 5 starters on defense out.
Wow. That's a lot. And that doesn't help. Here, I wrote in the power
rankings. They lost their quarterback went out after the first drive, too.
Oh, wow. That's really not good. I wrote in the power rankings this past week on Friday for those on the Patreon that saw that, that Indiana might have the most disappointed fan base in the country. They were looked at, and we've mentioned how brutal their schedule's been this year and how brutal they've been running through it multiple times already on the podcast, but they were looked at as a potential New Year's Six Bowl type team, you know, could go 10-2, 11-1 type of season if they were what they thought they could be. They now sit at 2-5, and are in severe.
And they've got their own alumni betting against them for the fucking spread.
And they're in severe jeopardy of not making a bowl game at all. They play.
They've got Michigan.
Their schedule is at Maryland, at Michigan, home versus Rutgers, home versus Minnesota, at Purdue.
Dude, they lose 4 of those games. They're going to have 9 losses on their season. Yeah.
So it's just not a.
If they get healthy, I think they could beat Maryland. But you know, they're just four up right now. They'll definitely be dogs to Minnesota, dogs to Michigan, probably be dogs to Purdue.
Yeah.
So.
They're not going to make a bowl game.
That's a tough expectations versus reality for the Indiana Hoosiers.
Bad. I just think back to the Scott guy we had on our podcast before the season started for the Iowa Indiana preview. And they're like, yeah, we're trying to figure out if last year was a fluke or if we actually have built something to, you know, contend with the big boys. And I'm sure if you went and listened to their podcast right now, they're just so sad. But anyway, Ohio State crushed. I think the week before that, they smoked Maryland. They're playing well. When it comes to the question of who do we want to face, it kind of depends on what you're judging that off of, right? Some people always say, well, we want the best that the East has to offer. That's probably going to be Ohio State. Or the other camp is we want the best chance to win the game. Well, when we're talking that, it's probably going to be Michigan or Michigan State. I mean, even Penn State, I think, is a worse matchup for us considering if Clifford is healthy by that time. I don't think they're going to be in the conversation anyway. So
I think there's several schools of thought. There's Drake's thought, like, hey, we want revenge on Michigan State. There's the best matchup, which I believe is Michigan for us.
Why do you think that is?
Or if we're they don't have a very good pass game. I see that being a low scoring affair. And that's, I think, the only type of game that Iowa's can compete in at those, you know, at that type of game level when you get to that level of play.
In the big time moments,
we can't go shoot out with teams, that's for sure.
Nope.
But then the other school of thought is, what would be the best resume builder, say we're trying to squeeze into a college football playoff conversation?
Right.
That would be Ohio State.
And that's a conversation for only if we go 5-0 the rest of the season. Because if we lose one more game and still make it to the play, the title game as the West champion, which is still very possible. When you're looking at Iowa's chances, well, now Purdue has two losses. Let me pull up Minnesota's schedule the rest of the year. But, you know, is it likely that Minnesota wins out the rest of the year? Probably not. So depending on what we do head to head against them, we could lose another game, still be the West champion. But if we do, and we're 10-2 and we win a Big Ten championship, we're not going to the playoffs at 10-2. So Ohio State, if we're 11-1, screw it. Give me Ohio State, because I think I still want the chance at the playoff, you know? But
well, I think if we're 11-1 and then Big Ten champs at 12-1, I think we're in regardless, to be fair.
Well, no, that's what I'm – well, you're – oh, okay, I get it. You're right.
I think a one-loss Big Ten champion gets in regardless.
So, yeah, you're right.
You know, a bad loss to Purdue. I think we still get in.
Yeah, the resume, I guess, doesn't care.
Given the fact that the ACC is not getting a team,
right?
The Pac-12 is most likely not getting a team. Maybe Oregon sneaks in. You're going to get one out of the Big 12, and then you're going to get two SEC teams. So I think they you know what? Cincinnati changes it, so never mind.
Right. Cincinnati's going to be a playoff team this year. So it's going to have to be a decision between the second SEC team and the Big Ten team. But also, if
that's that in that case, I think you want. Well, honestly, what do you think? What is a better resume win? A 12-0 Michigan team or an 11-1 Ohio State team?
Oh man, well, and that's I don't know because if it, you know, Oregon's a good loss for Ohio State, if you're going to call it that.
It was early in the season too, and like squirrely stuff happens early in the season. And if, like, I think, wasn't it just a couple of years back the national champ lost early in the season?
I don't remember.
That was Ohio State. Yeah, Ohio State, when they won the national championship, they lost to Virginia Tech first game of the year.
Wow, interesting. I guess, Kev. Yeah, you probably. I don't know,
but. I'm willing to bet that despite how bad that Purdue loss is, a 12-1 Big Ten champion Iowa Hawkeyes gets in the college football playoff. Yeah, I think so too.
Here's a reason.
One
of the reasons is because everybody and their mother on the bowl committee and people who are interested in the finances of bowl games know that Iowa creates revenue. Like when Iowa goes somewhere, they create revenue in that area. And like Iowa will just travel.
Well, I mean, if you want to get into the geopolitics, if you will, the Big Ten is the most lucrative conference in college football. So it pays for the NCAA and the bowl committee to have a Big Ten team in there. Now, we all know that the NCAA is never, ever, you know, tempted by money to do something that isn't exactly fair. So, not suggesting anything whatsoever here.
All I'm saying is that don't say that we didn't say so.
Yeah, money rules all. It'll be interesting. I think it's honestly, for the storyline, I would personally love the Michigan State matchup. But if it comes down to, and I think you're right, Kevin. I think
and I think we just walk in at some bitch and drown them with ice cold revenge.
I would love that, Kev. In my personal opinion, I think that we tip too far away from the line either way. Where if we are 11-1 no matter who we play, we win and we're in. And if we're 10-2, I don't think being 11-2 with a win over Ohio State gets us in. So
I'd probably agree with you.
Yeah.
Because 10-2, not a whole lot of, we don't have a ranked team left on our schedule. Minnesota might be ranked by the time we play them, but yeah, there's no more acceptable losses for a 10-2 team to get in.
Correct.
Or 11-2 if they win. But so that's enough of the hypothetical talk.
I was going to say,
we got to go win 5 games.
Right.
And we start off being underdogs to a 3-loss Wisconsin team after our bye week.
Which I thought
was interesting. I knew it would be a close spread, but I didn't think we'd be 3-point dogs in this game.
As the 9th ranked team in the country.
Listen, to dude, we are better football team as dogs. We were never meant to be the front runners. You guys know we're not a bunch of front runners. We talked about that all the time in the complex. And, don't be a front runner. Like, be tough at all times. And there's no better time to be tough than when you're the dog.
I would agree. It's so weird to think that actually means something, but when it sits in the psyche, the back subconscious of every guy on the roster, even if they're not consciously thinking about it,
they're going into a trophy game that they don't win very often as dogs. There's no more motivation that you can possibly have than to get your mojo back in a trophy game that means an incredible amount to your entire football program. And it's more than just a game to start and then add those extra factors. And there's no more motivating factor, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be, Purdue beat us handily, and then Wisconsin just beat Purdue handily. And I know that the transitive property doesn't work here, but like Kevin said, enough of the hypotheticals. 10-2, shit. At this point, the way we played against Purdue, 9-3 seems like maybe the most likely scenario for Iowa if they continue to play offense like they did. So we're hoping that the bye week that they've been on this past week has been good for the health. We're hoping that it's been good for the film room, the line, figuring out what's going to work as we move forward, what's specifically going to work as we play Wisconsin, a team that defensively, the Wisconsin defense that is, gives us problems all the time because they're a different defense than most of the teams we play. And it's going to be 3 points is a little disrespectful, I think, on Wisconsin's side, but it's going to be a barn burner. This is a pick 'em for me. I hope the edge goes to Iowa because of that underdog mentality. It's not going to be an easy win by any means. Wisconsin has looked bad this year, but they looked better on Saturday. And
yeah, they definitely played their best football game of the year this last week.
Yeah.
Which if you're the coach of a team coming off your best football game, it's easy to build a little momentum going into the next one. But Wisconsin has been painfully inconsistent throughout the year.
I'd love for them to dip back onto the other side of the table this week. I don't know how beat up the Purdue game made them, but I'd love if they were hurting a little bit. And I'd love if Iowa felt great heading up to Camp Randall. I think it's supposed to be sunny and 55 degrees. So damn near a perfect football day. And
how about it? We finally got an 11 a.m. kickoff. Hallelujah.
Yeah, seriously. Right. We're going to see how the Hawks play in the morning.
Dude. And it's extra early in the morning in Arizona. That's we're going to be watching this one with Casper. I was watching Kyler
Yeah, talk to us, recruiting assistant.
Listen, man, from seeing what the kid has to deal with in high school, like quarterback that just struggles to get him the ball, and having him have seen Iowa's offense in the past struggling to get their receivers the ball,
you don't like the chances.
And I know that he's being recruited by the likes of guys like Chip Kelly and Well, USC probably took a big hit because they lost their coach.
Yeah.
Who knows who their new coach is. But if USC gets a good coach, like, I mean, there's a lot of places that he's been offered to that are pretty enticing. And right now, Iowa is showing their lack of ability to get receivers the ball.
Yeah.
Whether that be because they aren't getting open or not, I don't know. The kid is really good at football as a junior in high school. And I don't know, man.
What Drake's talking about, by the way.
I didn't even ask. Like, I don't ask personal questions because that's not my business. I wasn't going there to dig for information. We were talking about who he's been offered by, because that is something that Kevin Casper had no offers. We had no offers, and his son has every offer under the sun. We were kind of talking about how the offering system works and how, like, understand this. Kyler's been offered to a lot of schools, and those schools have told their other receiver recruits that they can't commit until they get a decision from Kyler. So, wow. Like 2023 receiver recruits that have been recruited to certain places can't, because that's how college football is working now, I guess. They're just that's recruiting wild. And sending out offers.
Dude, yeah, you go look at some of these, how many scholarship offers some of these schools have out. It's in the hundreds. Several hundreds, like 2 to 3 to some schools have 400 offers out there.
Yeah.
You bring in 30 guys a class, maybe.
So, like, if you're one of the top either one or two targets for a school, they're like, okay, everybody else, you potentially can come play here, but only if the dog that we really want doesn't come here.
That's wild. There's a freaking waiting list to get into the club, even though
there's a waiting list to accept your scholarship offer. That's how scummy college football is.
I'd almost rather walk on at that point. Like, fuck it. Hey, we'll just go
not
back
to that school. Nah.
No,
not to that school after they just told you that, after they just, like, made you look like a bitch to your face. Like, I understand that there are some players like Kyler who are just cheat codes, dude. Like, the kid is 6'5" and a half. He runs crisp ass routes. He beats all coverages, and he just jumps over people. Like, he's a cheat code. And I'm jealous as hell that his recruiting process is going like it is.
Yeah. For those listening, Drake was, the Wash Up Walk-Ons are so big time now, you know, the iHeart deal, everything else, the flags popping off, which Big E actually put us on his Instagram story this weekend, which was, that was cool.
And Big E, I accept your offer to be your, adopted son.
Yep.
I don't have a dad, so I'm looking for one. I'm shopping around.
Oh my God. I'm going to share the picture that Big E put up. So for those watching the YouTube, he's in his kitchen. I think he's wearing clothes, but you can't tell because the flag is covering his entire body except for his face. And he's giving like the WWE crazy eyes, but he's got the flag and he's repping Hawks by a Million hard down there in Florida. Land O'Lakes, Florida, by the way. Which the only thing I thought of when he sent me,
which is so crazy that he lives in Land O'Lakes, because I've been in Land O'Lakes so many times because I've got family in Newport Richey and they're not far apart. And my cousin Lakin was actually an amazing softball player. And I watched her play Land O'Lakes once.
Mm. I just think of the butter that I see in the grocery store, but yeah, so We sent on our dime Drake Kulik on location in Arizona to watch Kyler Casper play, which is why this conversation's happening. But yeah, man, it begs the question. A lot of the stuff that came out a couple weeks ago when we lost were, why would a big time receiver choose Iowa? Realistically, why would they? And to be honest, when I think about the big time guys, like the three big time recruits that we've had at multiple games this year, the Wongpa kid from Southeast Polk, along with his teammate Caden Proctor, he's a DB, Proctor's a lineman, and then Kyler's obviously a wide receiver. For the other two, they're both in-state kids who
Iowa consistently sends guys to the NFL in their positions, right? You can find five plus DBs starting in the NFL right now from Iowa and plenty of offensive linemen. When we're talking about Casper, yes, he's the legacy, right? But how many targets, even let alone catches, does the top Iowa wide receiver get each year? As opposed to even other mediocre teams that pass in the Big Ten. And that's not even considering SEC or Pac-12 or Big 12 teams that throw it all over the place. And you've got multiple receivers getting 10 targets a game. So Kyler, if you're listening to this, man, if we come into some NIL money, you'll have all of it if you come to Iowa, bro. But I don't know if I can give you, this is a real ass podcast and we're not, you know, I don't know if I can give any top wide receivers out there a definitive answer of why you should choose Iowa as a dog receiver at a high school over other schools. I don't have an answer.
And that's kind of where I was sitting, because Kevin and I were just simply talking about where he'd been offered from, because I was interested and the names were just popping up and he was talking about, you know, places that he liked, things that he liked. You know, obviously he loves Iowa. There's things about Iowa that he loves. That's why he might come to Iowa.
I think everything other than the wide receiver production and how he's going to be used, I think everything is to love for Kyler about Iowa. So it's still going to be a really tough decision.
But then there's like also schools in Los Angeles, California, Pasadena, California.
Sunny, you know, in 75, baby.
Your home games are in the Rose Bowl if you play for UCLA. Like, there are just some things that Iowa can't offer that other places can. And I don't know, like, one of those is a really high point.
So he is 6'5", right?
And a half.
Yeah. What are the chances we can beef him up to 240, 250 and make him a tight end?
Very easy, honestly.
Dude, he would be like Darren Waller 2.0, but with better routes.
If you put – he is a skinny kid. I'm guessing he's maybe – 190 if he's lucky right now.
I didn't ask.
I don't think he's anywhere over 190. If we could put 50 pounds on him, which I think you could, and make him 240, 6'5", 240, he'd be the best tight end in the country. Nobody would hold a candle to him. But I just, how are you going to convince a kid that, right? Like when he has the chance
because
to go be.
Because we're tight end you, man. He's like, hey, come be a tight end. You go in the first round and you know, tight end you, man. Tight end you. Hey, happy National Tight Ends Day, guys.
Oh, by the way, we are recording this on National Tight Ends Day. George Kittle getting ready to go here at 7:20.
He's still on IR, pal.
He's still not playing. He didn't play last year on Tight End Day either.
Yeah, man. It's
he
it's
created the holiday, and he hasn't played 2 years in a row on it.
And I'm sure he's not thrilled about it, pal.
Not great for the bottom line, which his bottom line is just fine anyway, but – National Tight End Day. I don't think that's going to happen, Kev. I just don't know. I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can sell him on that. I do think, at least from a very outside perspective, when he has come to the game day visits, he's made friends with the Wampa kid and the Caden kid and the other big time recruits. He's had a lot of.
Well, what if we don't get those guys either?
Very, very possible that we don't. Wampa's just down to three: Notre Dame, Ohio State, and us.
No SEC squads, huh?
Yeah, it's he's the top safety in the country in next year's class, and he is a top 10 recruit overall, regardless of position. And we are in his final three, and he interacts a lot with like the Iowa football tweets, the T Barnes tweets. There's been several graphics that they've made.
God.
So he's if he's not coming to Iowa, he's been teasing. Because him and Kyler both have liked a ton of recruiting tweets.
Is he going to be the highest recruited or the highest ranked recruit
that we've ever had?
Yeah,
I would assume so. I don't think AJ was a top 10 overall. I know AJ was a
Epinesa, the highest recruited player we've ever had.
I would guess so. It's either AJ or going all the way back to somebody like out of that 2004 recruiting era when we were top 10 3 years in a row, someone we would have gotten in a class there. But yeah, I would say the Wampa kid is probably.
I could have sworn I heard back when we were playing that CJ Fedorowicz was a 5-star, but I'm not sure. Kevin,
I don't think he was.
Question.
Yeah.
With NIL, There's got to be rules around, like, offering them deals during their recruiting if they go to set school, right? There's got to be rules around that, right? Or are we really in the Wild West? You can do whatever you want.
By the school or by, like, companies in
Say you're a booster of a particular university and there's a big-time recruit choosing between a few schools. Can you say, hey, if you're in such a city where my school is next year, I would like to offer you an NIL deal? Is that kosher, or do we not have rules for that yet?
I would say that if it's not facilitated by a coach that goes to said company and says, hey, let this kid know that they have a deal waiting for him, I think there technically is no rules for that company. Like, who would govern that, right? Like,
I have no idea.
I have no idea. But that's probably what a lot of these kids are dealing with. CJ Fedoritz was a 4-star, by the way. That goes all the way back to that dirty recruiting talk. Like, Kyler could have, that's what I'm saying, is if we had some real cash, any Hawk fans out there listening, if you had some real dough to throw around, hey, maybe slide in them DMs. Talk about some deals.
Throw the dough.
Yeah, come on now. But yeah, man, I don't know if we're going to get him or not, but you know, it's interesting. The fact that we're even being, I mean, obviously we're going to be considered because in Kyler's case, he's the legacy. He would have so much opportunity here as far as, aside from the receiving, he could be the guy, the superstar. Now, again, Tyrone Tracy is supposed to be our superstar. Even if you look at who is our superstar receiver, you call him Nico or Charlie, whoever it is, you know, they get a great game for an Iowa receiver is 5 catches for 80 yards, you know, where you could go to Texas A&M or Texas Tech or UCLA or Oregon. You can go grab 12 balls a game for 150 yards. Like, what do you want? I don't know. That's about all I got. I mean, we've gone for almost an hour, but it's an interesting conversation. We'll preview Wisconsin on Thursday, obviously, but I'm just sad my parlay didn't hit. Kevin would have done really well, he said, if we did make picks this week officially. He went 4-1, right, Kev?
Yeah, so that pick I sent you, those were the picks I was writing down during the LeSean episode.
Mm-hmm.
You said, yeah. you remember that, like, I see Kevin making some picks, but we're going to do it a little differently this year. Those were the 4-5 picks I wrote down. They went 4-1.
Okay, so Kevin would have went 4-1. Anything else from you guys? I had a few other things on the schedule. Oklahoma almost lost again. They're ranked like top 2 or 3, but they're going to lose at some point. The UCLA-Oregon game was really, really close down to the end. Iowa State beat Okie State, even though they were favored. Okie State was a lock pick, though, at +6.5 or whatever that was. I don't know. There was some cool stuff across college football. The 9 overtimes weren't cool, but it's cool to see, you know, Franklin the Turtle lose. And
how did our picks do? When we did LeSean's episode, we all picked together?
We all went through the Big Ten picks. So let's see. We said if Clifford plays, Penn State covers. They did not. We said Minnesota covers. They did. I forget what we picked in the Wisconsin-Purdue game. I think we picked Purdue.
It was close.
And then who else played around the Big Ten? We picked Michigan to cover over Northwestern. They did. Under also hit. You're welcome. Who else played? Is that it? Oh, no. Ohio State covering in Indiana, right?
Yeah. Yep. So we did pretty well. We should just do community picks, because when we all have when we put the minds together, we usually do better.
Dude, that's 3 weeks in a row that we've been hot.
We have been pretty good. We've been pretty hot lately.
If these people are still mad at us for our picks, then they're wrong. Well, for 3 weeks in a row, we've been smoking hot.
Yeah, you got to stick with us for the whole season. Got to stick with us for the whole time. It's that final record that matters.
Chalk those picks up to our resume on the graphics and stuff.
I will. I'll go.
Make sure those are resume boosters.
I will. I'll go back and make sure that we solidly picked on one side or the other, and then I'll give it to us. That's it. 261, kind of a low key episode, more of a hypothetical conversation. What could be in the recruiting / Big Ten future here in the next 5-6 games. Iowa has a lot of work on their plate. I almost see every game as the exact same the rest of the way out. Now that Purdue humbled us, I just, every game looks like a tough, grindy battle that you have to go 1-0 each week, even though that's the way it should be every week, except for maybe Northwestern.
It is. And I think Northwestern will be their easiest game. I'm still not worried about Illinois, but I think Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska are all going to be dogfights of games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is what it is. We'll be back to cover the Wisconsin. Maybe we'll find somebody that has a podcast and bring them in for a little enemy recon. Maybe not. But the Hawks are back in action. They're rested. They're recovered. It's time to roll. Time to go to war. And I'm predicting a game very similar to the 2015 game, the 10-6. So we'll see what goes down. Drake, Kevin, myself, the walk-ons are out on 261. We will talk to you on Thursday. Peace.